Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to unlock the combination to your life's true potential.
Living Out Loud
with Dr. Frieda Birnbaum. Dr. Birnbaum is a research psychologist, psychoanalyst, and author of What Price Power? An in-depth study of the professional woman in a relationship. She's an expert on depression, women's issues, attaining happiness, and so much more.
You got a gift, my friend.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I mean, hold on.
Yes, you do.
Now, here's Dr. Frieda Birnbaum.
Living Out Loud.
Welcome, everyone, to the show. And we have something really interesting. A woman that is
Robin,
going to
Yeah,
talk.
Robin Inken. She's with
Robin Inken.
LLP. Yes, but Dr. Frieda, before we start, we've got to remind everyone that they can learn more about you by going to your website at drfrieda.com. And Dr. Frieda, before we begin with Robin, you've had an extremely busy week talking about Caitlyn Jenner, and I know that people have heard about Every Which Way Possible, but you offered a lot of original thoughts and insights on it, and I was just wondering if you can quickly share with the audience very briefly what your conclusions were as opposed to what people were saying about it.
It's important to know that this is not something that is done on a whim. This person, who was Bruce Jenner, really had been thinking about this for a long time. His family knew about this, and he was ready to go for whatever personal reason he had. But, you know, the truth is, this can start as early as 2 years old, sexual and gender identity, and people need to realize that, at best, it's better to be mainstreamed and to be heterosexual. So this is not done for the fun of it. This is not done to be different. This is done because there is no other choice.
Okay. So that's something. And I'm kind of curious to know, just take a little bit of transition. You deal with people from all different scopes and all different mental states, and wanted to know, how does a person's mental state impact their ability to have financial abundance and financial stability?
Well, that's an important question. How do you go ahead and promote yourself to do all the right things? And that question is almost a leading question, because you do have to be in the right place. If you can't get it together personally, how can you help other people? So that's where it really begins. You have to have a sense of direction, a game plan, and you have to have it work for yourself. And once you do that, once you're on the right track, then that's a perfect time to help model for other people to do the right things.
Okay. And I want to introduce our guest for today. I'm going to give you an intro. Her name is Robin Inken. She leads Linear LLP's Business Solutions, a financial restructuring group. She works with a lot of debtors, creditors, bondholders. She's really an expert in finance, and the reason why we're bringing her on our program today, Dr. Frieda, is because we'd like her to talk a little bit more about, you know, how people can basically apply or make some changes in their finances and how they can improve their life. Like, what are some of the, you know, small marginal changes that can have substantial impact on their ability, you know, to have a more fulfilling life? And Robin, are you with us?
Thank you. I am. Hello, and thank you for having me.
Hi, Robin. Welcome to
Hi.
Our show. There's so
thank
many
you
questions.
So much.
My pleasure, our pleasure, that I'm thinking about right now, and it's about women. And what do women do to promote themselves? What do they do when they've already achieved a degree, a career, and they just want to make as much as the men are making? What advice would you give them?
Well, that's an interesting question, because women, unfortunately, we really don't do enough, and I haven't yet figured out why that is. We do need to do more, but what women need to do is think about what happens at the end of a relationship when something may go wrong. You know, we all are either single or involved in relationships or starting new relationships, and the thought is, how do we protect ourselves and for the future? And so the best way to do that is to be as independent as possible and not rely on another person to handle one's finances. I think that's the number one thing. Even when women are very successful and may be leaders in their fields and doing jobs, it's not always that their finances are handled the way they handle their careers. And so one thing we have to be very, I think, thoughtful about is to make sure we understand what we're doing, we get the right advice, and that we're vigilant in making sure things are done the way we want them to be done. I mean, one of the things that I often talk about is financial abuse, and that is a rampant thing in a lot of relationships, both perpetrators by women as well as men, and people need to be aware of that and make sure that they understand what's happening financially and they're not being controlled financially by somebody else to their detriment.
So you're saying that people in general should get all the information from all the resources but make that decision on their own, that final decision. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, well, on their own, but with the help of an advisor who can be trusted and who's informed.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we all are perhaps, you know, specialists in our different areas, but we're not specialists necessarily. Like I'm not a specialist in what you do, and you're not a specialist in what I do, and so we both need guidance in learning about what the other one does. That's the same thing in finances, is getting the right person, and this requires interviewing people, getting referrals, and meeting them in person, and deciding, gee, are you the person who I really want to listen to? And not just give up to and defer to, but to listen to and then make informed decisions. And that's what's important.
So that's
hey,
the absolute truth. I just have one thing to say quickly. Delegating is so important then. Who the people are that work for you, is that who you become? Is that right? So it's so important. The people around you should be the best people. Otherwise, you really don't have all these opportunities that we're talking about. Go ahead, Ryan. What were you going to say?
Well, what I just wanted to ask you both is this. I'm sorry to interrupt you guys. To say that Dr. Frieda and Robin, you both have worked with women, professionally successful women, and I was wondering if there are a couple of definable qualities that you both can cite, that you can cite in successful women, and also if you both can each elaborate on some of the fields where women tend to be naturally more successful in as opposed to men.
Well, I'm going to shoot right into this and tell you that women as in general have been doing more nurturing kind of roles, and it's changed. And as far as psychologists, psychotherapists, where they are either working for someone else, but Robin, isn't that true? It's changing now. And they are CEOs of companies, right? Investment bankers, brokers.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, women are powerful in most organizations. And I think it's women that are at the tech companies and everything else, that women are managing firms, managing partners at law firms. I mean, women have achieved it. We're there. And those qualities, I think, are people who are self-motivators. You're proactive, and they're people who really don't just listen to know or listen to someone who told them that they couldn't do certain things, that they could go out and do it, and who learn. And I find the one biggest trait, and this goes with the financial question we just previously discussed as well, that addresses Ryan's second question, and that is the women, I think, who are most successful, like anyone, are informed. And you need to be informed in order to make the right decisions. And so research, listening, doing, not shooting from the hip are things that all are very important in making people, I think, successful. And I think the industries, look, there's different industries. Women are in every industry. There's fewer women in certain industries, in the financial industry. Sometimes the financial consulting industry, you see fewer women because that's a job where people are on the road all the time, and if women have chosen to have families, they may not want to be leaving. However, on the other hand, I know many women that have families that excel at their companies in financial consulting and are on the road all the time, and they're terrific. So
Robin,
I don't really think there's a difference on that.
Ahead. What about the technical area? Would you say that I know women are stepping up in all these fields, But do you think that that is also more of a divide, or do you think less so, women and men involved with the what's going on with the internet and all these new sites that are coming up? Do you think there are a lot of women in that field?
There are women. There are women.
There are. Okay.
And you've seen them. I mean, you've seen the Lean In and the people that have been really at the top. I think there are a lot of women in that, and
mm-hmm.
it's a very exciting field. And what's interesting in that, for the most part, it's young people, both young men and young women, who are doing that, and I think they're getting more involved all the time. Digital media is another area. I think women have been very successful in these fields. The issue is, you know, how are they treated, and are they given the same opportunities to rise as men are? And I think that's kind of on an individual basis, depending on the company and who's at the helm.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of Hillary Clinton running for the president? Do you think that's going to affect our society, women and men, seeing a woman who's so powerful out there?
I think having a woman like Hillary, who is so strong and smart and well-respected, represents us so well as women,
mm-hmm.
that it's terrific. And I think when people can see what she can do and they've seen her in her other positions, that that lends more credibility to all of us.
Absolutely. Ryan, you
okay.
were going to ask a
yeah,
question.
Yeah, actually, what I wanted to ask you both is when you look and you examine men and women from positions of strength, and you look at the presidential field, just to explore from an apolitical perspective, what are some of the qualities and characteristics that you see as pillars of strength within each of the leading presidential candidates at this point? I want to know if you guys can both discuss that and explain why, because you know you both are experts on this, on strength.
Well, that's some question that could take an hour and it's not. Am I right, Robin? My goodness, I better quickly research all these people who are. Every day there's somebody else coming on board. What can I tell you? I just know that one thing for sure, Hillary, as a woman, needs to soften up a little bit more. When she wants to have power, she doesn't have to present herself always as this image of strength. We want to hear the facts. So that's one part of what's going on, because we're so fixated on Hillary as a woman candidate. Now, the other people, and Robin, I want to hear what you have to say about this with Bush running. You know, we already had all these people in our lives. What can I tell you? Another one of those? I mean, our economy did not do well. We did not do well twice around. Now we're going to do it three times around? No thanks. I mean, you know, give me a break. I want to make a different choice. And then the other candidates are coming in and out. They're not really a source of information. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, when you examine these, if you're looking for this thing, and also Robin as well, just like when you guys look at them, what qualities you're actually seeing as pillars of strength? It's not about, I mean, if you put aside what they believe, just completely just not even put it on the table, but what they're doing that's strong and what they're doing that's particularly weak, from apolitical, what do you guys perceive?
As a psychologist, what I see is someone who touches your emotions. Now, there's one that's running, what's his name? I'm so good with this. That is a very good storyteller. What is his name?
Mike Huckabee?
Ruffy. No.
Rubio?
Yeah.
Yes. And he's a very good... thank you. These questions we don't discuss ahead of time. What can I tell you? So I want to hear from you. So that's what pulls me in. As a psychologist, I'm a feeling person. So I like to hear connections. I like to hear somebody talking about from the heart and also giving us what we want. I'm not just going out there and having a platform and knowing how to put sentences together. So I want to hear your take on this, Robin.
Well, and I agree. I think that foremost, I think, intelligence, right, are the characteristics that hopefully make someone. Look, we've had people running for high offices in the past who we've learned weren't so intelligent, and that has hurt them, right? So you want somebody who's very intelligent, someone who's informed, and you're right, someone has to appeal to the people. If they're not appealing, then people don't like them. But different things are appealing to different people. Like you said, you think Hillary needs to be a little softer, but, you know, that's hard because there's a lot of men who don't want to see a soft woman as president. So
well, softer, I hate to interrupt, but this is so important. Softer doesn't mean you can't have a strong stance. It doesn't mean you can't be assertive and going ahead and implementing certain standards that we need on the foreign level, or on our domestic level, the way we are handling our finances in this today in our society. We need a lot of strength. But if she came on softer, there'd be less of this competitive mode that she brings with her. And we would forget about the competition, and we would remember what it is that she's saying. So that seems to really get in the way a little bit for me, and I'm sure other people. But you're right. She does need to have something to say that's strong, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, she has to be strong. This is supposed to be our leader, right? So you really want someone who's well-rounded. You want someone who seems informed. You want someone who people want to listen to. I mean, and that was, you know, with Obama. I mean, he's a great orator, right? And people came from all over to listen to him, and he got everybody very excited and about something new. And I think people now are, you know, they're more jaded. We don't know, like, if what they're telling us. Do they really care, or are they saying this to get elected? And I think that's an important thing that people are looking at, different people running for, to see are these really, you know, is this person going to change in the wind? Or does this person really believe in what this person is saying? And is it
absolutely
something that you know, I want to go with? And that's hard
true.
For people to determine.
That's true. And we're so desperate for different perspectives that I hope we don't choose a woman president because she's a woman, or a minority because he's a minority, because we want changes. And the reason,
right.
The way to look for these changes is to look at everybody's records to see if they have done something in the past that have given them strong character, and that they are able to implement their procedures, their predicaments that they're giving us. So that's so important. We really can't afford to really choose anybody based on the way they look, Kennedy,
right.
Or
right.
You know, or right. Any of these things. Our society, and we're at risk from other countries. It's a very, very important time to choose the right thing. But here we're talking
right.
Politics. Let's go back
to talking politics. But I think
finances,
there's
so much to talk about.
I was just going to combine
it with finances, actually, and say that we have lost such trust in people, because look at what's happened in the financial world, right? You've got these major firms, Lehman, that go into bankruptcy, and then you learn about all the greed that was taking place at the high levels. And you've got officials like Hastert and these type of people who you find out that have done horrible things in the past. And so the trusting, you know, goes across the line. I mean, as you were saying those things, I was thinking, gee, in the financial world, you know, we're so untrusting now of people, because you thought you could trust these big companies before. You could trust someone who said that they were going to make investments for you and had a big company. And who knew what was going on? And the world now knows that you just can't trust these people. And that's a problem.
So what would you say? What would a person do? What kind of resources should you gather in order to have the right information about someone that you're depending on, or someone that you feel would employ you, or whatever that is across the board?
Mm-hmm.
Who these people are, they're representing themselves. Are they being honest? Are they going to make a difference and help you in some way? What would you recommend that a person would look for than someone else?
I think consistency and talking to different people. But you can't always be certain, right? Look at Madoff. You know, if you were to talk to people who are in investments, they'd say, gee, we're getting these big, huge, you know, amounts of money. This is great. It's the best thing since sliced bread. You know, only to find out what was going on and have that money you got now be asked to be given back. So I think it's consistency from different sources to see what these people are doing, like how have they helped you financially? What have they done for you? What is their input and what their role really is? Because someone may be like a financial advisor, but they may be acting like a broker. and someone else is really making all the decisions. Well, they'll just hook you up with some other company that's now making investments for you, and this person really doesn't have anything to do with it. And I think that's the big thing that people need to understand when they're interviewing people and looking for financial consultants. Who's actually making, if you make a decision, or who's actually doing the advice and who's actually inputting that, and not just a voice or connecting people, because that's really important. I'm not sure a lot of people understand that's what happens.
It's true. It happens with attorneys. It happens across the board. And the other problem about this is that it does give the other professionals problems, because once that reputation is scarred,
right,
it goes across the board to other people who really can't save themselves and save their reputation, because someone else in a similar field did something horrible, was stealing,
right,
or whatever they were doing. It's really tough. It's a tough road.
Yeah, it really is.
And unfortunately, we're out of time, and we just want to give you promote your site, and you can learn more about Robin Inkin by going to her website, robinltkin.com. You go there, you're going to learn all about restructuring, bankruptcy. She can work on you with your personal finances. She can consult with you if you're having an issue with financial abuse. You know, if you look her up and do some reviews on her, she's got an incredibly high review. So it was a real great pleasure to have you with us today, Robin.
Thank you, Robin, for being on
our
show. We learned so much
today.
We'd love to have you back. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. I'd love to come back. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Okay, Dr. Frieda, as far as the rest of the week that is going, I mean, everyone's so caught up in the Bruce Jenner thing, but now that seems to have died down. And now what you see is you see another big story, another instance where the police are caught on camera and they are actively, they're caught, you know, beating up a girl at a pool party. And it was just pretty amazing how the people spread. So do you find it intriguing that more police officers are being filmed, are being exposed, or they're being, you know, their protests are happening? It seems to be happening on a regular basis.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, I think it's wonderful. Finally, these things are coming out of the closet, and they will have to pay a price, these police officers, for having the divide between races. And there were white kids there, too, and they went home. And the black kids were there, and these girls that were going to a party, he took one of them and grabbed her and threw her on the ground, on the grass. And for whatever reason, who knows, but everybody looked shocked. And even she was on the ground, he was abusive. And the others wanted to leave and go home. They couldn't do that. There was no right. There was nothing they could do. And these policemen really need to get it right, or they need to get off the force. This one resigned, but the punishments are not severe enough, obviously, because they feel that if there's anything wrong, they can go ahead and become abusive. No one said that they have a right to do that. So they didn't kill anybody this time. That's a good thing. But still, they kill people emotionally. They tell you you can't be safe with who you are because of the color of your skin. Just imagine going around having a color that people are prejudiced against. When you have a religion, you could keep it to yourself. But when you have a different color, it's an advertisement for discrimination if those people are around. And it's a very painful, although I'm not from the black community, to see this kind of divide, this kind of abuse and intolerance that comes from a personal agenda, basically, has nothing to do with that individual in front of them. You know, I was on a show recently, and I said this person that interviewed me was a former policeman, and I said, don't shoot to kill, shoot to stop, using a taser or whatever. He was so offended because he said, well, how can we protect ourselves if we can't do something like that? And you can protect yourself many ways. They just need to change the rules. When these people take tests to become police officers, the rules need to be more rigorous, and they need to have higher standards.
Okay. Well, Dr. Frieda, that's all the time we have left for today. Where can people learn more about you?
Well, if they want to go on my website, it's Dr. Frieda, DrFrieda.com.
Okay. They learn more about you. And also, they'll be able to keep posted about your upcoming media appearances as well. And last time we spoke, you know, you've been on TV, you've done several interviews, and always great to hear from you and hear what your
perspectives
are.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward. Thank you, Ryan. I'm looking forward to much more and much bigger, and I'm ready to go, ready to roll, as you would say.
Excellent. And we'll see you here next time on Living Out Loud.
Thank you, Ryan. And you're the best. I want everyone to know that you're the best. Be well. Bye-bye.
Bye.